My brother doesn't need any introduction, I don't think. There's not anybody here that doesn't know our brother. I would ask for him your prayerful and careful attention. That's, always those who are occupying would like to have your attention, but definitely we need your prayers constantly. For the desires of our heart is to only teach those things that are pure and holy before the Lord. And so I ask each of you to offer a prayer for our brother as he stands and deliver this day the message that he feels like the Lord has put upon his heart. Our brother Bill Malone.
Hubert, I titled my sermon this day, A Closer Walk with God. And the idea that I want to present is the fact that each one of us are walking that path that is walking with God. But are we walking close enough to God, to where He wants us to be? Are you satisfied with your life? Are you where you want to be in with your relationship with God? There probably aren't very many people that would answer yes to that. And I base that on my own feelings because I know that there is so much more that I could do to be where God wants me to be. I'm assuming each one of us probably feel like that. Because we know of things in our lives that nobody else is aware of. The little flaws that we have in our lives. And the idea that I want to present this morning is to draw closer to God in a spiritual way. We go to the Lord all the time with requests. And probably more often than not, those requests that we ask of God are temporal rather than spiritual. We ask for blessings, usually lots of times physical blessings for our brothers and sisters and for ourselves, for temporal blessings as far as our work, our school activities, our temporal affairs throughout each day. And we, for the most part, I believe we do prosper because we seek God's advice in our life. But perhaps we could prosper even more. I'd like to begin with a scripture in the first chapter of Mosiah. In verse 55. And this whole first chapter is something that each one of us ought to refresh ourselves with the ideas presented in this chapter. I'm just going to hit a few highlights in the verses throughout the first chapter. But in verse 55, he says, "And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments, and he has promised that if ye would keep his commandments, ye should prosper in the land." Each one of us, I'm sure, try to keep his commandments. Sometimes we fall a little bit short. And we pray to God that we might prosper in the land. And that is looking out for the temporal aspect of our life. And that's a good thing that we do that we seek God in all the things that we do. We're given commandments to go to God with everything. All of our needs our requirements, are all of our ideas, help us to make the right decisions. We need God's help in doing each one of those things. Now, I want to read over in verse 79. And here it says, "And now I say unto you, my brethren, that after ye have known and have been taught all these things, if ye should transgress and go contrary to that which has been spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that it may have no place in you to guide you in wisdom's path, that ye may be blessed, prospered, and preserved." It's the first one that I read is telling us to keep his commandments and prosper. And this is telling us if we don't keep his commandments, we're not going to be prosperous. We're not going to be blessed as much as we should be. And preserved spiritually and temporally. And again, down in verse 90, "And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received unto heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness." This final thought that I'm going to present here in this chapter anyway is talking about not our temporal blessings, but it's talking about our spiritual blessing and our ultimate desire that each one of us have. And it doesn't pertain to the blessings that we might receive here on earth. This pertains to the spiritual blessing of being received in heaven and dwelling with God in a state of never-ending happiness. And I'm sure that is the desire of each of our hearts, that we may ultimately overcome the trials and the temptations of this life and attain that place in heaven with our Lord. I want to read a scripture in Matthew in the 6th chapter. And in this verse, I want to read first the 33rd verse, which says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When I read that verse, it brings to mind the need that I need to first become spiritually close to God so that those temporal blessings that I seek in my life and that you seek in your lives will be added after we come to that spiritual level that we must attain to become one of the righteous. And this is a promise from God that if we attain the righteousness, the level of righteousness that he wants us to, that all of these things will be added. And these things that he's talking about, where it says these things shall be added, we can read back from the 25th verse. And I'm not going to read all of it, but it's talking about our temporal needs primarily. Food, clothing, shelter, employment. And in verse 24, it's telling us that our master needs to be God, not don't let the things of this world become your master. And all of those things that we seek in our lives for the temporal blessings will be added after we attain the level of righteousness that he wants us to have. If you don't see the blessings in your life that have been promised to God's children, then you need to take a closer look at the righteousness, your personal righteousness. Perhaps it's not at the level that it should be. And there's a scripture that comes to mind that that says when you pray and you seek these things which are good and which are right, and we also have to pray, thy will be done, that we would know God's will. I'm sure there are many times we ask for his blessings in our life, for things that probably might not be good for us, but we don't realize that. And eventually, we will recognize it later on that the prayers that we offered weren't really the things that we should have been praying for. It reminds me of a Garth Brooks song that said he thanked God for unanswered prayer, because what he ended up with was something much better than what he had prayed for. And as that is the case quite often. If we attain the level of righteousness, we first seek the kingdom of God. Those things, those temporal things, will be added to us. There's a scripture in the fifth chapter of Mosiah. Don't turn to it. It's verse 122. Does anybody know what that verse is, just offhand? Let me give you a hint. It's one that Don McIndoe told us to remember. Joel.
He that is righteous is favored of God.
Yes. And that's a scripture that I hope each one of you, let it become your memory verse. That one, and there's one more I'm going to give you later on. But that's a scripture that you need to remember throughout your lives. Every day, every hour, never forget that scripture. He who is righteous is favored of God. Because it's true. And if we attain that level of righteousness that God wants us to attain, he will give us those things that we ask which are right and which are good for us, and which we learn to earn because of our righteousness. He that is righteous is favored of God. You know, in Sunday school this morning, we were studying the first chapter of Isaiah. And there's a few verses there that we went over that say virtually the same thing that I'm presenting here. And just goes to show that God does not change. The same thing is applied from the time of Adam to our day that'll apply forever. If you do good, you'll prosper in the land. And you doing good is talking about righteousness. And not just being good, but doing good. Do those things that have been commanded, like we talked about taking care of the fatherless and the widows and those in need. And do evil. And this is in Isaiah again, do evil and be devoured with a sword or be destroyed. And so it's a very simple choice, isn't it? But sometimes we just step off of that straight and narrow path a step or two, and we need to get back on the path. And that reminds me of another thing that we talked about in Isaiah this morning, and that was, I'm going to read it so I don't misquote it. All right, where was it? Oh, in verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What he's telling us there is when you recognize sin in your life, seek forgiveness. When you step off of the path, and we all will do it throughout our lives from time to time, probably. When you recognize it, reason with God. Ask his forgiveness. And it will be given. There's a story we read in the Book of Mormon in 4th Nephi about the people of this land after Jesus had come and lived with them and taught them and everybody lived in righteousness. And 4th Nephi chapter 1 verse 13, it says, "And they did not walk anymore after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer and in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord." And over in verse 19, it describes this people, the people that we need to be. "And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. They were happy because of righteousness." Do you feel despair in your lives at times? Do you feel sadness or sorrow? The sadness and sorrow that we feel when we see the rest of the world in sin is one thing, but the sadness that we feel if we know that we're not as close to God as we should be is something that you have the choice to make that go away. You have the choice, and you make that choice each day whether you want to become closer to God or to walk in the ways of the world. There's a scripture in Matthew, 7th chapter. Where it talks about those who have professed Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they profess him with their thoughts, with their mouth, and not with their actions. Now we must profess Jesus Christ, but that is just the first step. The rest of it is living our lives like he has told us we need to live them. But this is what he says to those that just profess and don't do the things he told us. In 7:21, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Keeping all of the commandments of God, doing his will, puts us in that state of righteousness that the Lord will recognize us and grant unto us those temporal things that we seek in our life that are good and that are right. In the 15th chapter of Matthew, Jesus talks about, he's describing the scribes and the Pharisees here. It says, this people draweth near unto me with their mouths and honoreth me with their lips, which is good. But their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men is the same thing as not keeping all of his commandments. By not living our lives like he wants us to, we were showing the rest of the world that we are not in that position that we need to be, that God wants us to be. Each one of us qualify, I believe, as one of those that are in that parable about the 10 virgins. I think all of us here qualify that we're in that category. Those who have decided to come out of the world and to serve Jesus Christ and to serve God. We have taken upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ, and we have made a commitment to serve him, to proclaim him with our mouths, and to live the life that he wants us to live. We've made that proclamation through baptism. And that makes us one of those 10 virgins, one of those who are striving to keep themselves pure before God. But the rest of the story, half of them didn't make it. Why? If they kept themselves righteous, they had chosen to serve God, why is it they didn't have enough oil in their lamps? I believe it's because they did not keep the rest of the commandments that God has given us. They proclaimed him as their Savior, which each of us have done. They proclaimed to others that he's their Savior. But the oil in their lamps is, the good works that we must do, judging the fatherless, being a advocate for those who stand in need and helping those that are in need. And I think when we look at our own lives of our problems and our temporal conditions that maybe could use improvement, those things will come to us even without asking. If we concentrate on righteousness in our lives, those things will be added to us. I hope that none of us, when the Lord returns, I hope that none of us are in that category where he makes that statement to those 5 foolish virgins, I know you not. That's something that's quite scary. And we must counsel with God. We must seek him every minute of our lives. Let him be the most important thing in your life, not the temporal affairs of this world. Those things will come automatically once you attain the level of righteousness that God wants you to be at. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, giving shelter, food, and being a friend, doing good, doing the things that we need to do. So many Christians in this world have accepted what is said in John 3:16 and just forgotten the rest of it, what he says. Whosoever shall believe in him shall be saved and should not perish but have everlasting life. They disregard what it says, just what Jesus says just a few verses later. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. It's so much more important for us to be those five righteous that have enough oil in their lamps. So many of the Christians of this world are going to find themselves with lamps that are empty. They will go to trim their lamps, and they might be bright for a short period of time, but they'll go out because they don't have enough oil. They haven't done the truth or the deeds that Jesus said we must do. And by doing those things, we are in service to God. Okay, here's your memory verse that I'm going to give you that you need to remember. Maybe some of you know it already. Mosiah 1:49, just the last half of it. Anybody know what it is? Without looking at it. The last half of Mosiah 1:49. No. Kim? When you're in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. Mosiah 1:49. There will be a quiz next time I'm up here. And I might call on somebody to stand up and say it. When you're in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. When Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? The first one was to love God with all your heart and all of your soul, with all of your being. Just intensely love the Lord. And the second one is likened to it. That means it's just as important. And that's the one that so many Christians of this world forget. And not only is it important to remember, but it's important to do. Because if you don't do it, you won't have enough oil in your lamp. Matthew 22. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That simplifies everything. You only have to keep two commandments. That's it. You keep those two commandments, you got it made. Only it was that easy, huh? At just a few verses over in the 23rd, verse 3, it talks about those that, well, let's read it. Verse 3, all therefore, whatever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and they do not. And what that's saying is they don't walk the talk. That's something we have to do. We have to walk the talk to gain the level of righteousness that God wants us to have so that he can give us the temporal things that we ask for from time to time, which are good for us and which are right. There's another scripture in the Book of Mormon I want to read. Mosiah 1 again. And this one's towards the end of the chapter. And it's talking about the natural man, verse 119. And I wanted to bring out something here that I have overlooked last time I read this. There's several times I've read this and I've heard it and it didn't sink in. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And the part that I've overlooked in that was willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him. Now, sometimes we look upon things that are afflictions as punishment. And like my last sermon, I emphasized the fact that God doesn't go around looking for opportunities to punish you every time you commit a sin. But sometimes we do have to endure afflictions. It's part of life. They will always be there. They have for people throughout the scriptures, throughout eternity, through all of time. They've had to endure afflictions. And we might be called on to endure afflictions. It's not punishment. Always. It could be, but not necessarily. And we have to accept those things that are our walk in life. And endure them even as a child doth submit to his father. My closing scripture is Alma 16, verse 219. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields. Yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses. Yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually, for your welfare and also for the welfare of those who are around you. And now, behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and afflicted, and impart of your substance, if ye have to those who stand in need, I say unto you, if ye do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is in vain, and availeth you nothing, and ye are as hypocrites who deny the faith. A lot of things that we have to do. And we need to find that correct balance of righteousness in our lives to attain the level of righteousness that we have to be in order to attain all of these temporal blessings. They are there. They're available. It's the promise of God. If we do enough crying unto him, that's a lot of praying. A lot of praying. And I don't think there's any such thing as anybody. I know I'm not guilty of it, but I doubt if any of you are of praying too much. I just don't think that could happen. The more you pray, and you know it, you've experienced it, I've experienced it. The more you pray, the closer you are to God, the greater your blessings. It's a natural thing that God has made it that way. If you want more blessings in your life, get closer to God. Thanks.